Good morning. Welcome to Word is Alive Ministries. Just want to thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to answer the question, or have it answered by Jesus and Peter, who is Jesus? Now, too many people have their own idea, and that gets confusing, and it gets dangerous, especially within churches. And I want you to answer that question this morning. Before we even get started, I want you to say, who you think Jesus is. Some think he's some sort of hippie guy that just went around and was just nice to everyone, didn't ever raise a ruckus, just love, you know, peace, all of this stuff, and gave everybody just what they wanted. You know, he fed them, he did all these things. Some think he's just this benevolent guy that just came around and was just born and just took care of everybody and didn't say anything to anybody that was controversial or anything like that. Not true. Some think he was a harsh disciplinarian, just like the Pharisees, letter of the law, you know, it's got to be this way. He wasn't like that either. There were things that he said, this is it, and this is the way it is, but he was not a mean guy. In fact, he was kind of a fun person to be around, apparently. He enjoyed being around people. He enjoyed going to places. The first miracle was at the wedding of Cana. Those weddings were large affairs. They were fun affairs. So Jesus was sociable. He didn't like that. But we got to answer the specific question about why did he come here? What was he doing? What was his purpose here? We all have a purpose. God has given us a purpose. That's to go into all the world teaching and seeing people saved and baptized and teaching them. We call that discipleship, letting them learn the Bible. So here, Jesus has been talking to these guys, his apostles, the ones that have been with him. They've been with him this whole time, and he's talking to them about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they don't really get it because he's talking about a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. And what he's talking about is this pride, this sin, that gets into all of us sometimes that infects everyone and it spreads and we see it in churches, we see it in families, we see it in communities and government and everything else, that this thing, this sin just spreads like crazy and it goes around and it gets into everything and it affects everybody else. And so I'm not telling you that they were having trouble with it too, and they were right there with Jesus. So we look at this, and he's talking to him, and he's asking him, how can you not understand this? We're going to start in verse 13, right after this conversation. So when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's asking them a question. He's been talking to him. Now he's asking them this question. Who's everybody saying I am? You guys have been around. You're talking to people. You're listening to people. Who are they saying I am? And now this was not so Jesus would know. It was to get them to start talking, to say some things, to relate these things. We get around people. I get around people and they got varying opinions. And throughout my ministry, people, and they'll usually start with, well, I feel or I think, which is the wrong way to do it. So, he's asking them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I need you to tell me this because I want you to get your brains a-going. This morning, I want you to get your brain a-going. I want you to start thinking about this, about who Jesus really is. Who is he? Not who is he to you. Who is he really? And then that will govern who he is to you. Is he this guy that you just pray to when you just need things? Or is he the person that you love and care for, even if you don't think it's going the way you want it to? So he asks his question. And they answer him in verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So they answer him and they say that they've got some varying answers. The question has to be answered. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus this morning? Who's everybody saying he is? Now, I've said some things a while ago about who people say he is. Who are you saying he is? Are you saying that he's just a good guy? You may be saying that. Well, he's a good guy, but, that's about as far as it went. He did some miracles. He did some things. And so he had some things like that. He was a decent person. Maybe he's one of the prophets. Maybe he was this. So they're saying, was John the Baptist. Okay, so there's some people that were following John the Baptist, and they were saying, hey, this is him. This is still him. You know, this is come back. John the Baptist, and he's just given that title because he baptized people. That doesn't mean that that was his denomination. He was a baptizer, and he said, I'm going to become less so that he can become greater. He even looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, that's him. And when he was in prison, he was like, man, I've got to know for sure. So he sent some of his disciples. He said, go ask him. I want to hear it from his very mouth. I want to make sure that I'm not messed up here. Now, this was just John with his humanness. And we all have that. I just made that word up, I think, humanness. Human nature, you can call it whatever, but this is us. We have doubts. We wonder things. We, you know, even when we know it, we're like, ah, man, I gotta know. I gotta know for sure. You know, I gotta really know, you know, and I've done that with people that, you know, I was like, I gotta ask you a question. I think I know. Sometimes with people's salvation, I said, look, I think I know the answer to this, but I've got to ask you because I need to know from your lips. And so that's what he was wanting. So they saying, some are saying you're John the Baptist. Some saying you're Isaiah the prophet. Now, Isaiah the prophet was a very important prophet. We find it's in the middle book in the Bible. It's a kind of a mini Bible, 66 chapters or 66 books. You know, it's just those kinds of things. That was not a bad thing to be called, to say that you were Isaiah. And none of these are that anyone was, you know, disrespecting him or saying anything bad about him. He said Isaiah, and then some say Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the one that was foretold the captivity and told him you just need to give up because God's given the judgment and it's going to come true. You just need to let it go. So he said, some are saying that. Some are saying you're Jeremiah. Some are saying you're Isaiah or one of the prophets. So they're saying, you know, it kind of varies. Those are the two main ones. Is this way it looks to me. As I read this, I say, okay, those were the two major ones. If there was a vote, these guys got the most votes. But there were some that were out there that they were saying as well. Well, you know, there could be this and there could be this. He could be one of these other prophets, you know, maybe Joel or Malachi or Micah or one of the other prophets. You know, he could be one of those. So all of these are good answers, but they're wrong answers. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that. They're good answers, but they're wrong answers. You may have a good answer for who Jesus is, and it could be the wrong answer. And so he's got these guys to talk, and they're telling him, this is what we're hearing. Now, what would that do to them? Probably confuse them. They're thinking, you know, we think we know, but not sure. So he goes back to them, because I know who other people are saying. You're hearing all this. I know what they're saying. Now I want to hear what you want to say. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now this is the thing right here. You can have everybody telling you who Jesus is, but you're going to have to answer the question yourself. You can't just rely on everybody. You can't just say, well, granny told me, or daddy told me, or mama told me. You can't do that. They may have told you the truth, but eventually you're going to have to answer that for yourself and say, this is who he is to me. Now, this is it. You've got to answer that question this morning. And life or death is what this depends on. You're going to spend eternity in one of two places, in heaven with Jesus Christ or in hell away from him and in punishment, a place that he doesn't want you to be. But, you know, it says few are going to find this. That just gets me when it says few are going to find it. I want everyone to find it. Look, even the worst person, I want them to find it. You know, we all know people that are just, they're not good people. They're mean. They're nasty, you know, but you know, you might even tell them go to hell. You shouldn't be doing that. You don't want them to do that, especially as a Christian. Don't ever say anything like that. And if you do, just repent of it right there and say, Lord, I really didn't mean that. I was just angry. I said those things. We've all done it. We've got angry and said things and you just, Lord, that's not where I want them to spend eternity. That's not what I want to happen for them. So please, you know, forgive me for saying those things. As a child of God, we shouldn't say that. So he asked him, who do you say that I am? I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me. I want you to say this. Now listen, it's not just enough to think it and say, well, yeah, I've thought about it, you know, and it's okay. No, he said, you need to let the world know who I am. who you say I am. When you accept Christ, you need to go before the body at a local church and you need to tell them, hey, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. You need to do that because he said, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father. Now, what does that really mean? That means that if it's not important enough for you to take it to people, it didn't really happen. Now, look, we can say a lot of things. We can say we have confidence in a lot of things, but then when it comes down to it, we don't really have that confidence. We don't have that belief, you know, we say things. And that's why I've had people tell me, well, you know, if I'd have been in Roman days and they came in and said, you know, we're going to cut your throat and cut your head off or you got to deny Christ, you know, and they said, well, I just say, well, just cut it. And I said, you don't know that. We say these things, but you know, do we really mean it? Until you get in that moment, you don't know. The moment is you get down to the point where the Holy Spirit is drawing you and you have to make that decision to either accept who Christ really is or reject him. And that's it. So you can't go by what everybody else says. Those people that went on before you, they may be with Jesus. I can't answer that. Only they can answer that and Jesus. But you got to answer that for yourself. You got to give that account. So he says, who do you say I am? Now this is where Simon Peter steps up. Now, Simon could be wishy-washy. Simon could be strong and great, and Simon Peter, you know, he could be messed up. And that's why so many people, when they say, well, who do you identify with in the Bible? They say, Peter. I don't want to identify with Peter. Man, he was wishy-washy. I mean, Paul had to get him aside and say, look, you know, when you're with the Jews, you're a Jew. When you're with away from them, you know, you say anybody can have salvation. And he said, you got to stop this stuff. He's kind of playing both sides. So, but this time he answers. Here's what he says. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter steps up and he goes, okay, here's my answer. You're the Christ. Okay, now we look at this when we say Jesus Christ. And I even heard a comedian saying, well, why is Jesus the only one in the Bible with the last name? That wasn't his last name. That was his title. He would have probably been Bar-Joseph, called by earthly people, which meant son of Joseph, because that's who people thought was his daddy. His daddy was God. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, but he said, thou art the Christ, the Redeemer, the one who's come to take away the sin of the world. Exactly what John the Baptist told him. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, folks, to take away the sin of the world, the one has come to redeem us. What does that mean to buy us back from sin? Romans tells us that by one man sin came into the world. By one man that sin debt was paid, and that man was Jesus, the Christ, the Redeemer. In the book of Ruth, we get the picture of the kinsman redeemer, the one that was kin, that could only be the one that could do this. He had to be a kinsman, and he had to go and tell the other kinsman, I want to buy Ruth back. I want to buy her back from being alone. I want to buy her back from this not being with anyone. So this is what Jesus did. He came and he bought us back from sin. He paid the sin debt. He laid it down. You know, I've heard analogy after analogy, and I think the best one I ever heard was that a person stood before a judge, judged of a crime that they would owe money for. And when it came down to it, the judgment was given, the gavel was brought down and said, you are guilty and here's what you owe. And then this person got down from being a judge, took off their robe and laid it down and walked around beside the person that was judged, because that was their father, the judge, and said, here, I pay it. See, that's what Jesus did. He judged and he said, everyone is accountable. They're accountable because for all sin it comes short of the glory of God. And that wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's what the judge did. The judge gave a gift and didn't require anything else. See, a gift is free. If you give a gift and you expect something in return, that's not a gift. That's a purchase by the other person. They just got to pay it at a later date. No, a gift is, I give this to you and I don't expect anything in return. I just want to give it to you. And that's what Jesus did. He gave of himself, the Christ. He came and he gave of himself. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now some would say, well, God doesn't have a son. Yes, he does. This is the way he had to do it. He created us. And in Genesis, it said he breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. That's how we became. And all these other things, when we look at it, and I think it's funny, I watch some of these science shows and they're starting to look at it and go, you know what? The things that we've been doing and things that we've been saying, they really don't add up. We've had enough time here and they're not adding up. There's some strange things here that just don't fit in there. And see, that's the way, science has always done this. And they said, well, it's kind of like, you know, it's a jigsaw puzzle and we got this piece in here and it won't fit, but we're going to pound on it. When I was a kid, I used to like to work jigsaw puzzles and you would get down and there'd be a piece that kind of fit, but it wouldn't fit, you know, and you try to shove it in there. Maybe you could get it in there a little bit and it popped back out. See, that's the way science has been, because they won't accept God's word. And God's word said that he created everything. In John, it says that everything was created by Jesus and nothing was created without him. So it was all created by him. And so he created us. When we sinned, he said, I've got an answer, but it's going to take me to do it. No one else can do this because man cannot do it, because they're sinful now and they can't do that. They were created without sin, but they chose to sin. And now I've got to create a way to buy them back, to bring them back into the fold. But they're going to have to accept that gift or it won't work. You have to accept this free gift of salvation. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is the only way through Jesus Christ our Lord. I talk about Jesus being a strict disciplinarian, but he did say something. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way. There's only one way to heaven. Now, Jesus was loving. Jesus was caring. Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. But look what he's saying here. He said, yeah. Who do you say I am? Answer the question this morning. You have to answer the question. Verse 17. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you didn't just get this on your own, Peter. you were led. You were led to do this. Folks, we're led to Jesus Christ. We talk about, I led someone to salvation. No, we just told them the way. They were already being led by the Holy Spirit. We gave them the information here. We told them, we showed them in God's word. My words don't mean anything. The word of God means everything. He said, you know, Simon, Peter, you didn't do this on your own. Well, thank God that we don't have to do that on our own. Thank God we've got the word of God that we can look at right here and say, this is it. This is what he's given us. And this is the word of God. We can look at it and say, it doesn't matter what men say. I've messed up. I've said wrong things and put people in the wrong way. I heard a preacher just last Sunday that he said the same thing and went to visit a church and he messed up, but then he caught himself and he never even realized that he said the wrong thing in the first place. He just put the, Jesus going up and getting the Ten Commandments, and he said Moses when he came down. So, you know, we mess up. Our words are human, but this is divine. God's word is true. Everything in it is true. Everything he says is true. Everything about him is true. And he tells us this. So answer the question this morning. Who is Jesus? If you can't answer and say he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, you got the wrong thing. You got the wrong answer. You got to give it to him. You got to tell him, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God, and I need to give it all over to you. I need to let you take my life. That's what you got to do this morning. You got to give it all over to him. And it's not just a little bit. You can't say, well, you know, I'll just give you a little bit. You know, I've given the analogy of the pie, you know, that we slice it up and we have a career, we got children, we got family, we got whatever we want, hobbies, and you know, we cut it all up in our life. We delegate, we give all this stuff. And then when we get left, if there's anything left, we say, okay, well, Jesus, you get that, but I'm gonna take a bite of it first. And the true way to do it, and this is so difficult to do, and I'm telling you, I have the same trouble everyone else does. What we need to do is go, it's all yours. This is my life. You divvy it up. You divvy up. You tell me how it's supposed to be. For one thing, He wants the preeminence, number one spot. You put him at the top. If you put him at the top, everything else is going to fall into place. You're going to love your spouse the way that Jesus said to love them. And you're going to put them number one. You're not going to mistreat them. You're not going to hurt them, but they're not going to be number one. Jesus is going to be number one. And then your kids come after that. And then your career and all these other things, because we put Jesus at number one spot, and he's going to organize it for us. He's going to show us the right way. And he's going to give us that peace so that we can go through this and have it that way. He asked Peter, who do you say I am? This is a direct question. Who do you say he is this morning? I want to ask you this very bluntly, who do you say Jesus is? Is he some benevolent guy to you that you just say, well, I go to him when I need something? Or do you go on and talk to him every single day? See, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said that you can have fellowship with us, just like we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. To have fellowship is to be a part of, to want to know. And, you know, you can't just do this once in a while. You lose track of people. I've done that before. You know, you lose track of people, and say people you graduated with, and you see them, you know, 40 years later, and you look at them and you don't even know who they are. I introduced myself to someone not long ago at a funeral. Knew them, walked up to them, and I could tell they didn't have a clue who I was, and I said something to them. Had to say my name, and then they go, oh, yeah, now I know. You know, you lose track. We had to start talking about, you know, what did you do after school? You know, where have you been? Who are you married to? How many kids do you have? How many grandkids do you have? These kinds of things. We had to catch up because there was a huge gap in there. We didn't know anything that was going on. And I've got other people I've kept up with through the whole time, and they know me. I know them. I know about their life. I know where they've been. I know what they did. I know whether they went in the military, I know whether they didn't, I know where they worked, I know who they married, I know how many kids they have, I know where their kids are, I know what their kids do for a living, I know where their grandkids are. You see these things? We have a relationship with them. And maybe you've gotten to the point, you put a gap in yourself between you and Jesus, and you need to get back to him. Or maybe you just never had that relationship. Maybe you said, you know, I've never truly answered that question. This morning, answer the question. Answer the question. Who is Jesus? Not who does Jesus to everyone else. And who do they say he is? Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Don't go by everything else. You can turn on the TV and you'll get all kinds of answers. Go to the Word of God right here. And when Simon Peter answered him, Jesus said, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. He said, because the Father has revealed it to you. And you are exactly right. Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. He said, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Now, you need to answer this question. Are you exactly right? Is Jesus going to go, yep, that's it? Or is he going to go, no, you're getting it wrong? See, there's going to come a day you're going to have to answer that one way or another, because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, are you going to do that right now? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ right now? Or are you going to say, you know what? I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And then you'll get to there and he'll go, no, later never came. You know, you didn't answer it correctly. When it came down to it, you said, you know, I kind of like it, you know. Man, there was a guy in the Bible, Agrippa. And he said, almost. He was talking to Paul. Paul told him about him. Paul told him about Jesus. He said, this is who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you, and this is what he's done in my life. Here's some evidence to go along with that. Felix told him he was crazy. And Agrippa said, you know what? That's some pretty good stuff there, Paul. But not quite ready. Almost you persuaded me. Almost, Paul. Almost. See, he wasn't willing to accept it. He wasn't willing to say, yes, that's exactly who he's going to be to me. That's exactly who I want in my life. I want to accept Christ right now. He said, almost you persuaded me. Almost. Folks, this morning, I want you to understand, it's not almost. I had a teacher in seventh grade, and he said, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. And he's right. Almost doesn't get it. You can almost have the correct answer on a test is what he was talking about. And somebody said, I almost got it. Can I get credit for that? And he goes, no, because it's not the right answer. You see, when people come to Jesus, they're going, man, I almost got it. Jesus almost had it. Oh, there was a day when I almost accepted Christ. I even went to church. That preacher was preaching hard, and I felt that tugging at my heart. And he said, if you walk out of here without Jesus, you're going to walk out of here bound for hell. And I thought, it'll be okay. So I almost got it, Jesus. And he's going to go, almost doesn't count. Doesn't get it. It does not get it. Blessed are you that get it. Look, I told you a while ago that the way is narrow to accept Christ. He said it himself, the way is narrow. Few are going to be the ones that find it. That's distressing to me because it says the other way is wide and a lot are going to go through it. And I'm sure they're looking over there and they're looking at the right path and they're going, yeah, I'll find my way on there. It's kind of like on a bypass and you missed your exit. You're thinking, man, I wish I could find one of those things that I could turn in between that they tell you you're not supposed to because I'm going to take it. See, people were looking for that and they never did find it. Great white throne are going to be the ones that did not accept Christ. None of us know what time we have. None of us know when our death's going to be. I'm thankful for that. I really am. But, you know, I want you to understand you've got to accept Christ when the time comes. This morning, if you're feeling that tugging at your heart and you know that you need Jesus Christ, please accept him. Please answer the question that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible tells us if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's an answer right there. That says if you'll do this, if you'll accept Christ, if you'll say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are God. I want to accept you right now. You will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from damnation. Saved from hell. Saved from what's coming. Won't you please accept Jesus this morning? Answer it in the right way. Give the right answer. Say, you are him. You know, he told Peter, you didn't do it on your own. I can't do what I'm doing on my own. I pray before I start preaching. I ask Jesus, help me out. Give me the words so that people will know that it's true. You can't convince me it's not true. I've seen too many people accept Christ and their lives change and all these things happen. And I know you heard me say that time and time again, but I'm telling you, I've seen it before me too much and I cannot get away from it. I may become upset with my own life and I all these kinds of things, but I know that Jesus has it all. I know that Peter walked on the water. I know that Jesus pulled him up and took him out of there when he messed up. And I know he does that for me. I know he can do it for you. I know you may say, you don't understand. Even if I give the right answer, I've done too much. No, the right answer is the right answer for everyone. Please accept Jesus Christ today. Please accept his free gift of salvation. Please answer it in the right way. Don't answer it like the others did. Don't go, oh, well, my buddies, you know, I still got my buddies. They're out there. They're giving good answers, but they're wrong answers. You can't do that. You've got to give the right answer. Good answers don't get it. Right answers do. You have to give it. You have to give the right answer. Won't you give the right answer this morning and say, I know it and I accept it. I accept it. Free gift. I want that free gift. Blessed are thou because the Holy Spirit revealed this to you. It's there. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only one. The only one. Never another one. Jesus is going to be it. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to have eternal life? You have an eternal soul created by Jesus Christ and it's going to spend an eternity somewhere. I want you to accept Jesus Christ this morning. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Don't listen to everybody else. Don't listen to all those people that would tell you what they want you to tell you. They say, well, I think or I feel. Listen to what the Word of God said. It said he is the Christ. I hope you have accepted Jesus Christ this morning. If you would, please let us know at P.O. Box 1152, Mammoth Spring. Thank you for everyone that supports us. May you have a blessed day. This is Word is Live Ministries. My name is Charles Morgan. Thank you very much.